everyone, and welcome to a sharpened edition of the Fans of Power podcast. I know. I'm sure Kevin's like, I'm tired of catering to this guy's really bad puns because of his name all the time. You know, because like when I met him at the for the first time, I was like, look, kid, that's kind of cute, but you know, you're holding the line here. Move on, move along. I'm Tyler Baker. And with me as always is the Rotten Amato Joe Amato and Nasty Nate Kennedy. And we are joined by a fan and friend of this podcast and a good friend of mine, and I like to think of all of us as well, is
I'm not friends with any of you guys.
That's why you're the local prick on the podcast.
They pay me to be here.
Yeah, we pay him in coffee and donuts and cocaine and other stimulants and things like that. And beer. Occasional depressants.
Lots of beer.
So Kevin Sharp is with us here. After a long, long, long road of getting him on here, we have finally got the great Kevin Sharp to join us. Kevin?
Hey, fans, friends, YouTubers. Glad to be here.
Fantastic.
How does it feel to be on the other side? You're usually in the chat, and now you're on the show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's surreal, man. A little nervous, but...
Is it hard to breathe? Can you feel what we feel with Tyler's ego? It just sucks up all the oxygen. It is kind of hard to breathe.
I will say, if you're feeling lack of oxygen due to me, I'll tone it down a bit, you know?
No, it's awesome. It's very awesome. I've been excited to be on here.
If anybody is aware that I have an ego, this guy does, you know, because of how many times he's had to draw my face.
Yeah.
So I'm sure. Yeah, of course not. But
if you've had the weirdos that I have, some weird stuff go on and weird commissions that I've had, drawing you is a breeze, man.
Well, you hear that, people?
Let's just dive right on into that. What, as family friendly esque, because I mean we do drop the four letter words on the show, but what is kind of the weirdest one you've ever had to do?
Let me see. I had one of the ones was there was a guy that was at. I didn't actually have to draw it, but it was because I kind of passed it on to my to a partner in crime when I was in a New York Comic Con. But this guy happens to come up and he's just, you know, let's just say he's been a victim of the weather and maybe was a little sweaty, out of breath and this and that. And he comes up and he goes into this long spiel about drawing a commission for him. And I told him I didn't have time because I was working on something and I could tell, I just knew there was something that he was going to ask me to draw that I knew I wasn't going to want to draw it. And I said, well, my partner here needs a commission too. You can always ask her for it, for a commission. And as he goes over, he starts to, as I'm listening and I'm drawing and I'm sitting here drawing the commission I was working on. And he just starts, I hear him start telling, he's like, yeah, I want a furry, but, you know, she's a really sexy furry.
And, what's a furry?
I'm assuming her vagina.
Well, it's a furry is a...
I think we get it.
Just an animated character that's a, you know, whether it be a fox or a bunny or whatever it may be, or a hamster. And, anybody wanted her sexy.
Is this some sort of anime nonsense or something like that? Or are we talking in code here?
Except for as you're listening to him describe it, he's like, well, yeah, I wanted her to wear something really sexy. And I was thinking, you know, and he keeps talking. But then he kind of starts expanding on it. And he goes, you know, wanted like a bondage outfit. And, you know, with the leather straps around the body.
I'm sure the guy's like getting all hot and bothered as he's describing it. So he's like, you know, all right, I'm done. I like, you know, I don't need it anymore. I'm just.
Yeah, exactly. And he just keeps going on and as I hear it, and then he goes in, yeah, and it would really be awesome if she had, you know, like a ball gag. And I'm just
good
going,
God. Oh, man,
I dodged a bullet here. And it's so crazy, man. I think that's probably the worst, although I've had a few that come pretty close, you know. And the guy's just kind of sweaty and... Really, and I'm just my friend. I'm like, I'm so sorry. I'm just sitting here going, I'm so sorry. I sent him to you, but actually, then again, I'm glad I didn't get it.
Did your friend draw it?
Yeah, actually, she did. I think we were having a pretty rough go of it in New York, and I think that she was just kind of making, you know, trying to get the cash together, and we just needed to make cash. So, you know, it's one of those things you just kind of grin and bear it sometimes. It happens to all of us.
And that's what you do when it comes to Tyler and all of his weird ideas. Put my face on this. Well, I need the money. All right, I guess.
If we get the ball gags, I'll have to slow it down, but I think we're all right.
Well, I'll make the adjustments on the next idea I have.
Now, was that done at a convention, Kevin, or was that something else? I know you get you probably go to a lot of conventions, I'm sure.
Yeah,
live drawings at. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, it was like a New York Comic Con, right around 2015 or 13, I think, something like that. But it was pretty crazy. Okay. I've had a few others, but usually there were people's character creations, and they aren't too bad. If there's something that really involves a lot of sex or something like that, I definitely send them running. You know, it's not something I usually draw.
I could just see this guy running around to everybody like, will you draw this? No. Will you draw it? No. Finally gets to you and just like, well, I can pass it off to her. And she's like, all right, I guess we need the money.
Sometimes you get after doing it for a while, you get a vibe for certain people and you just go, okay, I'm probably not going to want to draw what they're wanting me to draw. So I did the good thing and just passed it on.
How long have you been, you might as well, let everybody know. First, if you want, I'll acknowledge the people in the chat room who are going to be here probably asking you a lot of questions.
Joe was probably losing his shit. Like, guys, I'm not doing the regular, you know, routine hair.
Well, let me just say hello to Zentron, Delva78, Zim Brown, your favorite blockhead. Grimbot's here. And I might have to. Oh, Delva78. I just said Delva78. See, this is when I need Nathan because I don't always have the lives. Eric Amon is here. And I might have got everybody. I'm sure I missed somebody. Tags Animation Media. And I just reversed and did that dyslexic. So there you go. I tried everybody I could because I know they're going to be jumping in later to ask you stuff. But why don't you let everybody that's listening, let them know some of the things that you've worked on, because I'm sure they'd like to know. And then they could probably do their, Tyler would say, doing their homework. And they'd probably want to research the things you talk about.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll try to make this pretty quick, but it's, you know, I did a few issues of Generation X for Marvel. That was kind of my first Marvel gig. I got my first start at DC, and when I did a book called Showcase 94, and there was a story in it, and I did that back when I was like 20, and let me see, some of the more popular books I've worked on, Army of Darkness for Dynamite. And that's based on the movie.
Okay.
And I did a 4-issue X-Men series for Marvel, Extreme X-Men, The Savage Land. Let me see.
You want to tell them who you worked on that with?
Oh, yeah. I worked on that with Chris Claremont. For all the X-Men fans, I worked with Chris Claremont. It was pretty fun. A little stressful, but it was really fun. Let me see. Then I jumped around a bunch of fill-in issues, you know, like on Thor and Black Panther, New Mutants. Trying to think of the other bigger things that I've worked on. I did a 3-issue stint on Nova. Then for a long time, I was I worked in Marvel Creative Services, where, you know, when you see like a lot of the artwork for like packaging of, you know, if Chef Boyardee has Wolverine on there, mm-hmm. on the cover of a can for something, you know, usually they get the creative services people to do that. And I worked on custom comics. Like there's a Siemens Medical Company. I did a few comic books for like cochlear hearing implants and for MRI machine. And these were basically things to give out to kids to kind of make them feel comfortable when they have to have MRIs or they have to have surgery. And then there was, let me see, some of the stuff for DC. I did like Man of Steel. I got to draw Superman once.
Was that a cover or was that like, you know, some of the stuff inside you did?
Yeah, it was interior work. I think it was issue 126. I might be wrong about that, but I think it was.
And then, I'll look it up right now while you're talking.
There you go.
And then I did a Katana Shazam one shot. I did JLA Rise of Arsenal, that whole thing where everybody ended up hating Arsenal. All the fans kind of just – and it was one of those things, the story.
Wait a second. Did they hate the story, I'm hoping, and not the art? Because I could have pictured them looking saying, this art sucks. Because you know how Tyler and I have gone on rants before about sometimes art might be good, but, boy, a story sure can suck for something. So,
trust me.
I can't picture your art being hated. I just can't picture it from what I've seen.
It's one of those things, you spend your time hours on end late at night and you're the only person in the apartment and you're trying to draw all these things and you're losing sleep. And at the end of the day, all they see is what hits the page. They don't know the deadlines or they don't know maybe the inker you have isn't as accustomed to your style as they are somebody else. And they don't see those things. It's just what hits the floor. And, man, I've gotten raked over to Kohl's just like, you know, there's lots of people and I, you know, that also other artists, and I've had my share of, you know, pretty harsh critiques, and but you know, it is what it is. I take it. I have good days and I have bad days. There'll be something I'll draw and somebody will go, okay, man, that's awesome. I enjoy that. And I'll get a critique and, you know, somebody will see a book that I did and I'll go, oh, the story's so-so, but Sharp's art nailed it or something like that, you know, and it'll make me happy. And then the next time around, like the X-Men, surprisingly, the X-Men, I poured my heart and soul into that. And universally, I think the story just got panned. And, you know, my art got panned, I should say. And it was, you know, it's one of those things. It happens. It really does. You get used to it over time. It's like, hey, don't take it too personally. And just kind of roll with the punches, you know.
Yeah, because I'm curious to, like, I mean, how did you even get, you know, noticed to start working in comics? I know so many people always ask that question to people, whether it's people making action figures or working on a movie. I mean, how did that even come about?
Oh, wow. It's a lot different nowadays. It's a little harder, maybe, I think. But it used to be back in the, you know, early 90s, Marvel and DC would get out more to have a presence at, you know, conventions, and even some of the smaller conventions like Heroes Con, maybe smaller than this, you know, obviously the New York or the San Diego show, but it's a big 3-day con for the South. And I would go down to the Heroes Con and I would show my stuff around to different editors because they'd have a few editors doing talent searches or portfolio reviews. And luckily, you know, I saw an editor that liked my stuff, and you know, they gave me some work. And one of the times, my very first gig, the DC gig, I actually got from just mailing in submissions. They don't really do that anymore. They kind of just feel like they're, you know, they can't handle that kind of huge influx of submissions. So now, and nowadays, everything is just from, hey, show me your website. Where's a website where I can link and look at examples of your art? And it's more direct. It's better that way, but it also makes it a little harder sometimes, you know, because
I didn't mean to cut you off, but see, that was the thing that surprised me is I was thinking, hey, this day and age with the internet and how easily everything can be showed, you'd think, hey, possibly they could see stuff so much quicker, but maybe that's it. Maybe there's just thousands and thousands of people and so much stuff that maybe it is difficult to pan through all that compared to, like you said, meeting somebody in person or being at one of those conventions where when they physically can see that face to face, I guess that really caught their attention. And it just surprised me. Like I said, I would have thought nowadays, which is the internet, you know, it would be the exact opposite. You could see it, but maybe that's it. There's too many people out there, so it's hard to get recognized in a sea of all these people doing stuff, possibly.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's I think that's what happens is there's just so many people and so many websites, so many things. It's harder to get noticed. It seemed like it was easier to be face-to-face, and if an editor liked your stuff, you got that immediately. You know, you kind of got face-to-face time, and you could see, it's like, hey, you know, this is good. And then also they would just reach out and say, hey, what's your number? And they'd write it down or have a card and go, call me. You know, I got really lucky. A friend of mine, inker on X-Men, at the time, who was inking Joe Madureira on X-Men, his name is Tim Townsend. He was like, hey man, I was at a MegaCon show and here's, Jason Liebig. He was an editor at the time at Marvel. And Jason wants to see your stuff, and it's really funny. I showed my stuff to Jason, and Jason was looking over, and he picked apart a few little things, storytelling things. But he was just like, you could tell he liked something. And he's like, you know, hey, here's my number. Give me a call. And I think at the time, I don't know what the hell I was thinking, but I thought it was kind of a blow-off thing. And I was just like, nah, he's not, you know, he's not, you know, it's just kind of like a standard, you know, hey, man, give me a ring kind of thing. And, you know, I get a call to, like, what was it? Maybe even 2 months later or something. I don't know. I just kind of blew it off. I don't know what it was. I don't know what I was thinking. Maybe it was just my self-esteem was so low at the time. I just didn't think about it. But Jason calls me and goes, hey, man, why the hell haven't you called me yet? And I was like, I don't know, man. And he was like, well, I got something for you. And that's where I got my first Marvel gig, the Generation X fill-in. And, you know, just you know, it's just so weird. And just nowadays, it's just a little bit different where, you know, they want to see your website. They want to see your art. And then, you know, you have to kind of stand out from so many other people on the web, you know. But
that must have been, I mean, one hell of a feeling. And I'm going to say one compliment to you in a second. First, Febmon, Mark Randall is here. Zachary Lytle said, Kevin Sharp's art is amazing. So, bam, you got somebody in the chat room that wanted to acknowledge it.
Hey, Zach.
And I was going to say, oh, and Sportimus is here. And somebody named Raven Sharp said, ha, 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 now I get to troll Kevin. So.
That's the fiance. Say hi.
There you go. All right. She can give you some trouble here in the chat room, but I'll pass it off to Tyler or Nathan if they want to hit you up with some stuff too, but go ahead.
Well, I was just, I guess, based off of that story and how you talked about how much easier it was back then and how it's kind of harder now, you have to have a website and stuff. What would you recommend? Would you recommend if people are wanting to get into comics, would you recommend them going to a convention? And because I've seen documentaries where like guys will take their art and because all the different publishers are there to like look at your work. Would you recommend people going that route, or would you say immediately go ahead, set up a website, get your art out there and see what happens?
Oh yeah, definitely. I would recommend try to have a website or, well, you know, it's so much easier. You know, you've got DeviantArt, which is an artist friendly website. You've got, Facebook and Twitter and things like that where people show their artwork off. So you got so many options. It's just standing out. You know, it used to be that Marvel would send more editors out. Nowadays, Marvel and DC kind of, they don't really do anything except for the biggest of the big cons. And so, you know, that one might be San Diego or it might be New York. And that's pretty much it. You know, a lot of times it's based around now where they're located. Sometimes in Canada they'll do some shows, but they really don't send set editors out for like talent searches. So definitely websites, and just put yourself out there as much as possible. You know, do the hashtag thing and include Marvel in it and stuff. It just, oh man, it's just such a new or a different avenue that you have to acclimate yourself if you're not used to it. And it's so hard to stand out there because there's so many people on the internet, you know. So you just, whatever you can do to set yourself apart from the pack is just do it, you know.
Yeah, but it's good because you're already in, so you don't have to worry about it anymore.
Yeah, you'd be surprised because what happens is a lot of times you'll have an editor you'll do a lot of work for, and that editor you're tight with, but if they move on to something else, I had a guy who was absolutely great to me. His name was Bill Roseman. And Marvel moved him out to the West Coast to be on the animation division. So it made it harder because I had to find other editors I could work with. And, you know, so I'm sure some of that stuff happens, you know, and editors will move on and you have to kind of find other people that you can work well with, whether it's assistant editors or associate editors, whatever, you know.
Go ahead, T-Rex.
I felt like that was Tyler's cue to just hop on in and start like saying
yes,
something
yes,
else.
Joe was going with his stuff. Nathan was going. Let's. I'm gonna wait a second here.
I'm done talking now.
Okay. All right. I'm finished. Okay. Now I'm sure the people in the chat room and others listening too, like, this is a He-Man podcast, and
yes, exactly.
Kevin has worked on He-Man professionally. Would you and G.I. Joe? Which yep. I always want to make sure that gets in there because Kevin was a part of the when He-Man and G.I. Joe were coming back into the like 2000 around 2002 2003 when they were back on comic book shelves. Kevin had the good fortune of working on He-Man and on G.I. Joe. So if you want to kind of share your memories and thoughts and experience on that and get people to check out your He-Man work that you did professionally in G.I. Joe.
Yeah, I actually, right after I'd finished up Extreme X-Men, when I finished up Extreme X-Men, I was kind of looking for work, and I had a friend of mine who was doing a little bit of stuff for Devil's Due back and forth. Just a little, I think maybe pinups. I'm not exactly sure. But I just, you know, put it out there, put feelers out and said, hey, I'm out there. I kind of dig G.I. Joe here and there, and I wouldn't mind drawing it. And so Devil's Due called me up, and I was working on that. And then the summer of the year that I got the G.I. Joe gig, I went to a Chicago show, and Val was set up. And I just heard about Val getting the He-Man license, so I was kind of like, okay, this is not something I know. I'm not a very outward person, so it's hard for me to kind of just go out there and say, hey, I'm the shit, you need to hire me, you know.
And, that's the way to do it. Yeah,
you should just have Tyler like be your hype man going forward. Look at this guy, look at my face, don't you want to hire this guy?
Look how well he translated my face on Captain America in Mercer and He-Man. I mean, the sky's the limit of what he can do with me. Hire this man and use me as your model for all your heroes and stuff.
And then they all just collectively throw up and walk away.
No, they throw up and walk because, like, I can't believe this is the opportunity of a lifetime. How do I not screw this up? So,
yeah, and so it was really weird. We had the Devil's Due booth. I went down early for the show, and was the Devil's Due booth was set up, and then right beside us was Val. I think this was before he had, or after, maybe it was after, I'm not sure, but I guess Val was doing the publishing thing through Image, I think, and then he went with CrossGen, and then when they folded, I think he just finished the publishing back through Image, maybe, or through his own imprint. And anyway, I knew Val was there. They were setting up next to, right near where the Devil's Due booth, I mean, like in the same kind of area. And so Val and everybody was setting up, and I was like, all right, here, I'm going to do it. I don't care. And they're sitting there setting up, you know, and I have some of my one of my portfolios with me or something. And I said, hey, I'm Kevin Sharp. And I could tell they didn't know who the hell I was, what, you know, what I was doing there. And they're trying to set up, you know, so completely not the way you would normally do things, but hey, whatever. And I was like, hey, I really want to do He-Man. If you got anything you can throw me anything. And Val kind of looks at me and goes, oh, so you're an inker? And I was like, nope, I'm a penciler. And, you know, a little bit later, Val contacted me, and that's, he saw a piece that I did, and I think, or either maybe I did a jam piece that was 2000X inspired, you know, there are a bunch of the characters, Skeletor, and it was all He-Man, all kind of just like in a, I guess it would be like a Drew Struzan kind of layout, you know, kind of a movie poster kind of layout. And then I showed it to Val, and I think Val used that for a back cover for one of the issues, number 2, I think it was, or something. And I want to say it was a J. Scott Campbell cover, but I could be wrong. It may be something else.
Hell, I got that issue just sitting in here by chance. I'm going to grab it real quick and say that's it. I swear, like, it was just blind.
I think this is just Tyler's excuse. He's got to go pee or something.
No. I took care of that before we got going there.
But anyway, you know, and then after that, Val said he had a, you know, a mini comic story. He explained, you know, that it was for the Target 2-pack. And I was just excited. I was like, I don't give a damn, you know. And I won't go into the particulars, but, you know, this was roughly around the time I was doing Joe. And it was a 10-page story or 10 or 12-page story, and it never did get published because we still don't know. And then later, Val put it in the collected edition for the mini comics. They came out, what was it, back in 2016 or 15?
Yeah. And was that the one that promoted the Spin and Smash Blade figures by chance? Was that what it was?
Yep, that is indeed it. You nailed it.
Yeah, because, yeah, I mean, that was something that, yeah, to find out that there was another comic we didn't know about, because I remembered getting, you know, all the other 2000X figures, and anyone that had a comic was like, man, this is great, man, that's awesome. And to find out that there was one that we never got, but then, like you said, we got in that book, it was pretty cool. And Well, at least for you to finally have everybody see that, because I know that must have been heartbreaking to finally work on something Masters of the Universe, but then nobody got to see it. I must have been like a punch in the stomach.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, it was one of those things. It was really weird. I don't want to get into it because it was one of those things. Now it's water under the bridge, and I'd just rather not dredge it up too much and specifically. But there was a little bit of a falling out with Val, and then after that, I never knew what happened with it. I never actually saw what happened with the book and never heard anything. And so, you know, we weren't talking, and the only information I had about the two-pack was coming from Val. So, you know, it was kind of like, oh, wow. And it just never heard anything about it, and it was really a bummer. And I just assumed, you know, they didn't do anything with it, and I sold all those pages because I was just like, I, you know, wanted to at least get something out of the experience, you know, and I sold most of those pages, and I kicked myself now because it's like, hey, it actually saw a print.
Do you have any of those pages left? Did you keep any of them?
No, I didn't. It was one of those things. I was running through a little bit of a rough patch, and it's crazy.
We all go through that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. And it was actually sold to a tattoo or a big, huge guy who's a tattoo artist who just was a fan of everything villains of like the 80s characters, whether it's G.I. Joe or whatever. And he was just a huge fan of all the villains. And so he was just like, hey, I want those pages. And it was pretty crazy. It was like, okay, you know, you want all of them? And so it's like, wow. And
somebody's got a really cool piece of history. Like you said, I know it. Like you said, you're like, damn it. Now the thing came out officially. People got to see it. Now I don't have it. I know it must suck. But, well, quickly, JSP's here, and Wiley Collector wanted to say, love your work, Kevin. So you got somebody else in the chat room wanted to acknowledge you there.
My most humble thanks. I really appreciate it. And anybody who enjoys me doing the Masters of the Universe stuff is a big thrill for me because, you know, the reason I love this stuff, I grew up with it. I may not know like I have a hard time with my memory is remembering all the stories. Man, Tyler is like a freaking lockbox of it. And
I know.
He just knows so much about this stuff. But for me, Masters of the Universe, as far as the universe, it's just as important to you know, as far as like a mind experience in comics, it's just as important as DC or anything Marvel or whatever. You know, it's Thundercats and Masters are just, they're just like, you know, a lot of people call Marvel and DC the big two. Well, I think of those as the big four, you know, and I'm just happy. If people really dig what I draw when it comes to the Master stuff, dude, that just makes me happy because it's where I feel really comfortable with, you know. It plays to my strengths, I guess.
What is it like when you're drawing He-Man, what is it you enjoy drawing the most? Like, I mean, do you enjoy drawing the villains more, the heroes, battle scenes? What is it that when if someone asks you to draw this, you're like, oh, man, this is great because I get to show intensity, or I get to show, you know, rage, or I mean, what is it that brings out the best to you when you're drawing He-Man, or that gets you the most excited and pumped?
Yeah, it changes so much because there'll be days where, you know, I used to be, especially around the 2000 when the cartoon was on, I was really hyped about the redesign of Skeletor, or, you know, just how the Four Horsemen had designed these, you know, really cool little minor, in the grand scheme of things, they were minor changes or augmentations to what had come before with the toys, but they hadn't completely just redesigned them from the ground up, you know? And so the more villains around 2000X, I was more into the villains, but then at the same time, you know, if, you know, I'll just draw anything, you know, like, Many Faces has always been kind of like close to my heart. As, you know, that's the character that when I was a kid, when I was sitting out in the mud playing with the characters and goofing around, and my cousin, he had the Castle Grayskull and everything, and we just sit out there and play with those. It was just something cool about Manny. I still can't tell you exactly what it is, but it was something cool about that character. but it just changes with my moods. If somebody will give me an obscure character, and if I've never drawn them, I might have it might be the best damn piece I've ever drawn. And then sometimes I'll sit there and draw. Somebody will ask me to draw He-Man, and I cannot draw him worth a damn that day. You know, it's like it would just I just hate it. And it was because
what is it? Do you think, Kevin? Real quick, didn't mean to interrupt, but it's a question when you're talking about that. Is when you're talking about those characters, like you said, He-Man, and you feel like, God, I just didn't feel like drawing him, or you know, you just didn't have that inspiration. But then when you get this one of a kind or unique character that hasn't had any many you know interpretations. Do you think that's it? Because you don't see many people drawing it. It gives you inspiration to think, what kind of take or unique pose or, you know, like battle scene can I put this person in? Because he hasn't had that much or she hasn't or it hasn't had that much exposure. So does it get you more excited? Because like you said, I, you know, when you look online, you'll see thousands of people that have drawn He-Man and Skeletor and just the usual basic core characters. And I just wonder if, yeah, like you said, when you get to that different character you don't see much of, if it really gets your juices going to make it look that much more dynamic.
Yeah, it's definitely, I think it's a big thing of never drawing them so the pressure isn't there. You know, they're my some of my favorite characters, you even see it in my little screen grab there, some of my favorite characters are like Wonder Woman, He-Man, Wolverine, and I have the hardest freaking time. There'll be times where I try to draw Wolverine and I love it. He's badass and every time I draw him I hate how I draw him. It just doesn't look right. And it's the same thing with He-Man. It's more to do with pressure because there's so many good versions of him or so many people that have drawn him and draw cool things, or you just sit here and you go, damn it, Alfredo Acala was just freaking awesome and how am I going to even approach that, you know?
So do you feel unfortunately like people are going to critique it and like what you just said, because there's, you know, sometimes the epitome of what some people think He-Man is, so when they see yours they might think, oh, it's less than that, and you're, you know, like you said, a nervous, are they just going to want to rip into you, which, you know, we see that with a lot of people, which it happens unfortunately, but that's what I love about seeing all different artist styles is to see what somebody can do, because you could tell when somebody is either exactly drawn something to look just like Filmation or just like MYP or inspired by Alcala or a unique take. And that's what I think gets me most excited about when I do see artists doing their version of He-Man. Like when you're talking and I'm seeing right there in your little icon and we could see He-Man and Wonder Woman, Wolverine, you could see, yes, inspiration from stuff, but it's still your vision, and I love it. I think I get into that the most, but I could understand, like you said, seeing as many people do it, they might get the most critiques compared to, hey, if not many people have drawn, well, let's just say Zuva Rex, right, Tyler? If people drew him, most people are like, what the hell is Zuva Rex?
No. If you're going to push over, like, we need to harness Kevin's
right and have a
Azron and Spydra in a nice two-character pinup. That's what we need, not your chunky.
I would like to see your Granomir. To be honest, I would like to see your Granomir, though.
Yes, I would.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And
yeah. But no, that Zubarex is just a goofy example. No, somebody
honestly,
like Granomir.
Honestly, Joe, like, that's what makes this whole thing interesting, because as the minute Kevin said when he gets to draw an obscure character, I immediately think Azrog and Spydra.
Yeah.
But along with that, Zubarex, who's probably about as obscure as you can get.
Very.
Makes it interesting to, because one thing about Kevin's work, and it's not a pun, like if you look at his Wolverine in that icon of his, it's a very sharply drawn, and when I say like it looks just very so polished to the extreme because of how, I mean, it's in his He-Man, and I mean the He-Man there is about as definitive as you can get in terms of like this is how He-Man should look, you know, and Wolverine, I mean, he's yeah, that was one of the first things I saw about Kevin's work when I looked at a lot of stuff. The way he drew Wolverine was just—it's unmatched. And that's an interesting thing too. And I'll just go ahead and say this now. It's not jumping ahead, but Kevin is currently working on a solo illustration of Shakoti and a tag team of Webstore and Strongarm, which I've never seen him draw. Strongarm or Webstore or Shakoti. So
is that my cue to share the images?
Well, if you take time from your busy schedule over there, you know, I know you're
he gets a bottle out of his mouth.
Hey. Now okay, if I have to listen to Tyler talk about himself more, And
hey, if Kevin is going to bring up, you know, what an honor it is to draw me over, you know,
but he's just saying that to make you feel good.
No, he's not. Kevin's not that kind of person. He's not going to go out of the way to already boost my already inflated ego already, you know.
And Joe, the bottle, it's because normally I have like the liquor.
Is that really just like root beer soda you bought like cheap?
And, it's Bud Heavies, but beer just, I don't know. It's like drinking water.
He's actually pouring vodka into that bottle before it starts. Nathan usually gets pretty lit up.
That would be horrible. Anyway, let's go ahead and
I wasn't actually implying to do that. I was just letting people know that he's already working on drawing some of the more not the core like your Beastmans and your Man at Arms. So it's those, but done to death.
Well, you know, let's try this. I guess chat kind of give an indicator if this is showing up. So it's going to get kind of weird for a second because this is the whole screen share thing. I've never done this before, so we'll see how this turns out. Oh yeah, this is gonna get trippy.
Oh, that's great. Well, this is there.
Yeah. Well, we'll just kind of go through.
All right.
You guys can see that. We'll kind of let and see. Chat, go ahead and let Joe or someone know because I can't see the chat. You guys, let us know if you can see these images.
Yeah, this is a Triclops piece by myself, an inker by the name of Joe Weems, who's done tons of stuff. And then the colors were by Andy Duggan.
All right. Go ahead and see, it's going to get weird. Can they see it? Do we know yet?
They said they can see. Yes. Yes. Okay. Yeah, they can see it, they said.
There we go. And this is something that you were working on last week during the podcast, right? A couple of these sketches?
Yeah, there's a few ideas out there, yeah. Yeah, I Joe mentioned something. It's like, hey, maybe Kev can do something for the podcast. And then I got a little sidetracked by commissions, but I did start these around the time of the podcast, as well as the controversial Tyler punching the crap out of Chris Pratt.
Yeah, which was four of those done. That's awesome.
Which I should have. Maybe I'll like undo the screen share thing and then go back real quick, save all of those, and I can show those to people that weren't able to see those on Facebook. All right.
Now with the Chakotay, are you adding anything behind her as well? Here's Firestorm.
Oh yeah, yeah. The Chakotay, I'm gonna add the little crazy. I can't remember what
they're Darklings.
Called. Yeah, the Darklings. Yeah, the little crazy demons. And
we'll go back to that one.
Some of her temple. There'll be a little bit of her temple in the background and stuff. I wanted to do something fun and just kind
of
change.
Any chance of like having like the pool of darkness behind her at her feet or anything like that? Or?
I can. It was a matter of just trying to figure out what I was going to put in the background.
That's awesome. So cool. I can't wait to see that thing finished. And this Firestorm, this is a commission that you're doing currently, right?
Yeah. Yeah. The Firestorm is a commission I just did recently.
Need Nathan to talk for that one so it could show up.
Oh, nobody, okay. I don't think nobody. Yeah. There we go. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
I guess I'll just keep talking. Tyler's an egomaniac.
Keep it coming. There.
And you smell funny.
No, that's false. You take that back.
You play ball like a girl.
What did you say?
My dog was as ugly as you. I'd shave his butt and make him walk backwards. Does that work?
Your mother smells of elderberries.
I'm thinking about the Sandlot right now, if anyone.
I know, he's going full Sandlot on me here.
All right.
Old Hamilton Porter.
There we go.
Motu fan, I was going to say, real quick, Motu fan number one and Curtis Ackerman, thank you for joining us. And back to you, Nathan.
Well, here we go. This was the one that, I think this was one of the first ones that Kevin sent to us in our little group thing before we got going. And Tyler was thoroughly impressed by this.
Yeah, and just because I'd mentioned to Kevin like last week and talking, like I want to see Strongarm, I want to see Web Store, and because someone on I'd shared Kevin's Too Bad, someone had said too they wanted to see what his Web Store would look like. I'm like, that's something I'd like to see personally myself. I was like it'd be cool to have like Web Store like leaping out of the mouth of Snake Mountain or something like that, and or just a tag team, and to have Web Store and Strongarm like that. Now that's just an amazing duo in itself, and I mean, this is not finished, people. So don't think that this, like, it looks amazing already, but that this and Chakotay, he's just working on this currently. So if you like what you're seeing already, wait till he's done with these things. Because I'm like, what do you plan to use for, like, for back, or is it just going to be just the two of them, or what kind of background do you have set up for this, Kevin?
Well, the actual image of Web Store and Strong Arm, I just was kind of winging it until I could figure it out. But I know that with Web Store, I had him kind of hanging on his line, kind of like sliding down it like a spider would or something like that. You know, that's why you see his legs kind of.
So I thought, sideways. Yeah.
And you know, just playing around with the composition. But I'm, you know, any suggestions, I'll take them.
I'd say, like, I still say, like, having them at the edge of the mouth of Snake Mountain, like, Strong Arm quite crouched down like that, and then Webster's kind of, like, dropping down, you know, into frame or something like that. Yeah. Or, I mean, God, or I was trying to think of another, like, throwback, like, background that we could throw at Kevin. There's something that's, you know, pretty familiar. I mean, you could do like the exterior, or like Snake Mountain, have like the collector. He's drawn an awesome collector. I had him draw the collector in one of my for me. You know, that would be really cool too. So it's just there's all kinds of stuff. But I still feel like the mouth of like vintage Snake Mountain or something like that would be really badass.
Yeah, and I actually did put Snake Mountain into the two bad shot that I drew.
Yes, you did. Yeah. That would be just reusing the same idea. Damn it, I forgot about that.
That's okay. Then there's nothing saying you can't do it again on a second piece.
I know, but I know you do not like to repeat yourself in any form or fashion. I know you and I have discussed this in private. So, but
I just want to do better each piece. You know, that's all.
God, that's just so cool. Now these pieces are for sale. So if listeners who are listening to this in the chat room or at some point, if you're interested in buying the Chakotay or the tag team of Web Store and Strong Arm, Kevin?
Oh, yeah. I'm on Facebook. You can PM me on Facebook. You can contact me. Let me see. I don't know if it's wise to give emails out on here or not. I didn't know whether or not that works for you guys or not.
That is entirely up to you.
Yeah, it's whatever you're more comfortable with.
Yeah, kevhulk73@hotmail.com. I can be reached there. I don't use DeviantArt as much as I'd like to anymore, but I am on DeviantArt. So you can reach me there. I look for Kevin Sharp Art on Facebook. And I'm sure
the link for that on Facebook is down below. And Kevin, when we're done with this, just send me a message with that email and I'll just I'll edit it in to the bottom of this so people can contact you there as well.
Oh, sweet, buddy. Thank you, Nate.
And you know me, I can always do my promotion. I can do my whoring on Facebook as well for you. I'll show your art. I'll link it to you.
You can promote Kevin Sharp. But no, that's Tyler's thing. Yeah. I should have let Tyler.
Well, I
do
thought
that.
Joe was like, well, since we're talking about promoting stuff, I do customs. I thought, like, oh my God, here we go, man. It's like, you guys want to tell me I got an ego.
Joe does awesome customs.
No, so well, thank you. But no, I'll promote your stuff like crazy. Any of the pieces that you're selling, you give me pictures, I'll link them to you. So they'll have many ways to do it beyond through here, through, just like Nathan said, putting in the links, you saying everything, and me. I think between all of us doing stuff, yeah, it'll definitely get your stuff sold. And hopefully even more people start seeing you and commission you for stuff. Because Zen Brown, I didn't know if he has talked to you, but Zen Brown said, I have an original character named Black Titan that I really want Kevin to draw a piece for me. So I don't know if he has contacted you, but if not, I'm sure Zen Brown will probably get you on Facebook.
I mean, as long as he doesn't have a ball gag, I'm sure that Kevin will be more than happy to do it.
Sexy and, you know, be all furry and shit. Whatever.
They popped in the chat when that was going on. They were like, Tyler doesn't know what a furry is? !
Yeah, I just no, I don't know what that is. What you know, what is it really that important?
No, not really.
So no, yes, guys in the chat, we thought that was weird. Like, no, I don't know what it is, and I'm not going to lose sleep over that. I ask you people, do you know who Azrog and Spider are? Do you?
I actually do, and that's pretty good.
Now, what could you do with those two, Kevin? Because I'm always about, and that's what gets my attention, is It's when I see characters that are not, that are outside the normal group. It's the kind of things you find like in a t-shirt at your local Walmart.
Yeah.
You know, the more like what's another obscure character, or what could you do with Azrog and Spydra? Like,
well,
what comes to mind?
Well, it just depends. I'd have to go back and look at them. I know the characters. I know them from the Filmation characters, right?
Exclusively. Yes.
Yeah. And I'm familiar with the characters. I just have to go back and look. But, it, you know, a lot of times, like with you, Tyler, it's you're so informed about all the, you know, the characters and stuff that it's really easy for me to take my cues off you, because you usually have a general idea of what you – well, not even a general idea. You have a laser focus on what you want. And so it makes it so easy. You know, there'll be times where I'll get certain people that will commission me to do stuff where I'll have an idea, and it would be nice to have the freedom to play with my own ideas. But it's also, you know, in your case, when you're so animated and psyched about your ideas that it makes it a little easier for me to just run with that. So a lot of times, the fun for me will be down into like the textures and trying to figure out how to, you know, to interpret the clothing and things like that and make it look really cool, you know, or whatever poses and backgrounds and things like that. So, you know.
Yeah. That brings up something too, because I've talked to Kevin before, and this is like a ways back, but tell listeners too, like, if people want to purchase a commission, like an original idea of a character, or, and you guys, too, you can also get crossover battles if you want to see He-Man taking on Quicksilver from Silverhawks, or Lion-O taking on Snake Eyes in a sword fight or something like that. This guy's done lots of crossover work, just random crossovers. But Kevin told me a while back, too, that when he gets ideas, sometimes they'll be very vague ideas. And obviously, Kevin likes to have freedom, but tell him what you kind of need, you know, if people want to see something, if they want to see, you know, one of Joe Amato's customs taking on another one of Joe Amato's customs. Like, you know, there's an idea for you. You know, what do you need people to tell you, so that way you know, okay, this is the direction I need to go in terms of setting up an action scene, or just two characters, you know, standing back to back with each other or something like that. You know, what do you need from people?
Oh, God, I guess Joe had to go take a piss, too. What is with all you guys?
No, it just depends on the person. I mean, like, some people have very
wait, did you guys hear that? Did you hear Joe in the background? Like,
yes,
I heard him yelling. Say something. Was he taking a dump in the trash can or something like that?
I don't know. Maybe there's another Christmas parade outside. It is March.
Yeah.
Speaking of speaking of custom versus customs, so you got to take it back to when I was like 10. You got to draw my first original breakdown. See now what happened with this.
What did I do? What have I done to the podcast?
You ready? So, again, what we talked about last week or whatever, I was so obsessed with what new figures, I took this mini Madball head. I took a trap jaw arm. I got a Roboto piece here. If you're wondering how this white is here, I had white out from school. I just took white out and I put it all over his chest, painted him Prince Adam. So you got to do Breakdown versus Shadow He-Man right there. I've had him for 30 years. What do you say, Kevin?
Kevin, please tell me this is kind of crossing that barrier of like, you know what, guys, I can't do that. That goes against my beliefs.
Oh, man. I'm crying like how Tyler's going to do when Tyler and I do the commentary for Rocky 2 in a couple of weeks.
God.
Breakdown versus Shadow He-Man. You heard it here first. I think you could make him look badass.
Yeah.
There you go, man.
I think I would have rather have seen Joe take a dump in a trash can like you're talking about.
You're putting down my... Hey, man, I was like 10 years old. You got to give me some credit. I kept that all these years. That was pretty good.
Again, that's the thumbnail for this episode. Do it again. I want to see it. God.
Yeah, and the caption says, look at this shit.
Oh, that's cold. That's cold. Oh, no, but I was so proud of Breakdown, man. That's my Breakdown. Breakdown and Shadow He-Man. But that was the first.
Yeah, that's what he said. Well,
I don't think he heard you, Nathan, because you were laughing the entire time. I'm sorry,
and I apologize to everybody if that was very loud. I don't think I've laughed like that in years.
But yeah, this was from mini Madball. I think they were like figures or something. So I took this guy's head and just put it on there. I mixed and matched parts. And that was the first. And then, of course, you guys seen the insane double warrior and Tyler's favorite, Shadow He-Man. Yeah. Yeah. These guys, though, I think you could make them look intense. Look at that.
Joe, I'll give you credit.
We didn't get that obscure in terms of the mythology of He-Man with Joe Amato's created character.
Hey, I mean, hey, if Kevin can put your face on all these things, why can't he do that?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, if you want, I was going to say, Tyler could still ask more, but I was going to pass to the chat room if they had any questions for you.
I'm sorry. There's something about it. I don't know what it is. I'm sorry, Joe. It's better than what I would have done at 10 years old. But man, thank you for that. Well, I needed that.
But no, that's good. But I was going to say for the chat room, if they had questions for you, Kevin, I'd ask them right now. They can ask anything you want while Tyler hits you up with a couple more, but just bam, they can start doing it.
Yeah, feel free to any questions that you guys want to ask. Go ahead.
Yeah, and let people know too. Like, I mean, because obviously you draw stuff. If it's something you are really excited about, like Thundercats and He-Man, like what are some other properties that you that excite you? Nathan, can you please just give it a rest? I don't know what he's doing.
I muted my mic so I can sit and laugh for a little bit more.
Okay. All right. We'll save it there. All right. Kevin, what are some other properties that you enjoy drawing to give people some ideas that, you know?
I had fun on G.I. Joe. I didn't get a chance to do the things I wanted to do on G.I. Joe. I had fun with that.
Briefly, like, what are some things you didn't get to do on G.I. Joe?
I would like to have explored, for my issues that I did do, I never really got a chance to get in there and work with, like, Zartan much and Destro. And I really wanted to do something with Mercer. I wanted to kind of take that cool idea about Mercer and, you know, him being ex-Cobra and really do an arc with that or something, you know. And I had ideas for him, but I just didn't. I wasn't having a lot of fun on the Joe book just because of various little things that weren't related to anything with script or anything like that. It just, things weren't coming together the way I, like when you're an artist, you see a page or you see art as a certain way. And then I got paired up with somebody that maybe, you know, as far as inks go, may not have, you know, at the time may not have fit my style. And it's not a, they were bad or anything kind of thing like that. It just was, we may not have meshed well.
Well, I've seen the work you're talking about. And it's when you showed them, like, this doesn't look like your work, because the guy who inked it made it look like, well, somebody else's work, and not in the most flattering way too. At least some of the stuff you showed me, because I've seen some of your other stuff and look fantastic.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where it's like, part of it is you have a vision for your own stuff, and part of it is maybe that inker is great on somebody with a certain technique, and maybe it doesn't mesh well with maybe another person's stuff. And it's not not intentionally, and I hope it doesn't come off that way, but it's not a diss to anybody who'd work with me. It just was, I saw it a certain way, and you see these great covers by the people that were doing the covers for the book. And I did a cover for G.I. Joe, was it Battlefront or Frontlines? I think it was the one shot I did for them. And I was really proud how that came out. And it was such a good cover as far as the image goes. And I was like, having so much trouble because we're like, why doesn't the interiors look like that, you know? And I did a poster for them with Tim Townsend.
If you people must see this, because I own this poster. Me and my brother both owned a copy of this poster, and it's a beautiful G.I. Joe poster. And you can do a quick Google search on it too, but it's a nice collage piece that has an assortment of the more prominent Joes and members of Cobra. And Mercer is on there too, which, because me and my brother got it, I'm like, dude, they got Mercer on this poster. And that was like one of the key selling points of that poster. Not to mention it was badass, but Mercer was on there.
Is that one of the posters that I was with you, like when you and Chunk were going to the comic shops and buying
stuff. Yeah, because we got it the comic shop in Blacksburg.
Wow.
Yeah, that was Kevin's poster.
Man, okay. It's just the world is getting smaller.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird how it all just circles around like this.
It's so crazy because I was lucky, and I told you I was I was friendly with a inker on X-Men at the time, Tim Townsend, who was inking Joe Madureira. And Tim really has worked with the biggest dudes in comics and stuff, man. And he's a great inker and just fantastic. And somehow I had mentioned something off the cuff that I knew him or something. But anyway, Devil's Due had contacted Tim, never told me about it. Never mentioned to me that Tim was inking it that I ever remembered. I didn't even know about it until Tim had contacted me and say, "Hey man, I think it might've been on DeviantArt." And he goes, "Hey, do you have any of those posters? You ever get any of the posters or did you ever see the inks on that?" And I was like, "No, man, I never." I was like, "Damn." And it wasn't until later I'd seen the inks for that. I'm trying to remember the order of events, but it's been a little while. But we were both I was floored to see that he had actually inked it, because if you know Tim, he gets a lot of gigs with a lot of great guys. And for me to get something inked was just, as an aside, I don't want to ramble on too much, but as an aside, I've had the occasion just by sheer luck to have something inked by George Perez. Things inked by George Perez, Tim Townsend. There's plenty of these big names that I grew up with, and I just happened to fall into some kind of project with them, and it was just really weird. And so, when I saw that poster, it came out, and I was damn sure going to get Mercer in there, and I was damn sure going to get Scarlet in there, and I was definitely if I never get to draw Snake Eyes ever again, I'm drawing him in this damn poster.
And he's in a prominent position in that poster too.
Yeah, and I was really, really happy with that. I mean, so there's times where if people sit back and let me just have fun with it, I'll just go to the moon with everything, and I'll just want to give it my best. And this was one of those times where somebody just said, "Hey, that's a pretty badass drawing. Can we use it?" And I told Devil's Due, I was like, "Yeah," but I never saw the final poster. I never got copies of one. And so it was really frustrating because I knew the poster. I finally, somebody told me the poster came out and Tim mentioned it, and I saw Tim's inks and I was blown away. And then I was just like, "Holy shit, this is exactly how I saw things in my head." And it's rare to, really see things like that come together,
Go ahead, Joe. Go ahead.
I was just going to ask about when you're speaking of those inks, some, like as you said, just man can blow you away, and you don't have, obviously do not have to name names, but has there ever been a time when somebody's inked your piece and it kind of like let you down, feeling like maybe a lot of your details were then taken away if they didn't ink it in what you've seen? Has that ever happened? I'm sure it has, but I'm just curious.
The nature of a lot of things is sometimes when you start out, and I say this jokingly, but it's kind of where my head is at the time. But sometimes you will, when you're starting off, you're kind of a peon. You don't really get a lot of say in what goes on, in the books. And then sometimes you'll get lucky, and an editor will ask you, who do you want to work with? Or who do you see yourself? What kind of style? Is there anything there? And that's when you're really grateful, because it's nice to have somebody ask you how you see it, as opposed to just saying, "Hey, we got this guy under contract, and he may not fit your stuff, but tough crap, you're working together." It's hard to explain. The easiest way to say it is that if I can help the viewers or listeners get an idea, some styles, you may see yourself being inked in a certain style by, and this will be a little nitpicky, a little inside baseball, but sometimes you see yourself inked by somebody, like if you were to say like maybe some of the Image guys or Scott Williams or something like that, and you see that style inking your stuff. And maybe somebody gives you a guy that's primarily a brush inker who's got a softer hand and a softer, maybe a dry brush style or something like that, where it just, all that detail work you do just kind of gets kind of cluttered up a little bit, and it doesn't fit. And it's not because they're trying to screw you over or anything. It's just that they're, not, yeah. they don't fit, you know, it doesn't fit what you were seeing, and it's not really a diss. And then sometimes you just generally get somebody who's new, just like I was, or anybody else, that just isn't there yet, you know, and they need that, you know, experience to get better and better and better and better and better with different people, you know, different styles.
Do you have the patience for that sort of thing, or are you kind of like immediately turned off by that?
Honestly, you know, sometimes there'll be people that you just go, oh, that doesn't work, man. What's going on? I put, you know, I see this or that. But luckily, I haven't had a lot of that. I've been fortunate to get people that at least cared what they were doing. They may not be the same style, but they cared what my opinion was, or they'd ask me, hey, Kev, is there anything you need? It's just so hard because you don't want to insult anybody, and that you work with different people you may not know, and you don't know what their threshold of being pissed off with you is, you know, whether or not they, you know, if you say the wrong thing or it may be misinterpreted. And it's so hard. It's what I love about inkers and what is difficult. And it's part of the collaboration thing with comics in general, whether it's a colorist or this and that. You don't want to hurt anybody. You don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. You just want the best product, you know?
Have you inked any of your pieces yourself, or inking is something you do not do at all?
Well, yeah, and see, there's lots of people that are good at inking themselves, and I'm trying to get to that point where I can do it myself. And the Firestorm is probably a good example. I inked that myself. And
looks great.
And as far as anything published, I don't do a lot of published work. I did a wizard for their gaming magazine. I think it was Inquest. I did a Magic the Gathering spread for Image, and I actually inked that myself. And that was probably my only published inks at that roughly around that time, you know.
Okay. All right, I'll pass it to Tyler then. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, because Tyler sent me just now the poster that we were talking about, the G.I. Joe poster. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to go into screen share, but this time I will highlight myself like it had been mentioned in the chat. That way you guys can, even if they're talking, you can still see it. So, oh boy. And it's going to get weird right about now. So there we go.
Yes. Oh, sweet. All its glory.
Yeah.
Go ahead and say something again, Nathan, because it.
Oh, did it really? I thought, yeah. I highlighted myself. That's weird. Why is it? I don't know. Maybe it's not working out.
Maybe it is on my end, but
there you go. Just,
yeah.
But that's what me and my brother both had on our walls in 2003, I think. And that's just, I mean, you got Blowtorch, Mercer, Snake Eyes, Hawk, Scarlet, Duke, Flint, Spirit, Roadblock, Lady J, Zartan, Serpentor, Cover Commander, Destro, Baroness, Dr. Mindman, and Major Blood. I mean, he's just got, and Cover Girl and the Wolverine on there too. I'm like, good God, man. It's like, Kevin, you know, I only said Worst Crop Master Big Moa. That'd have been my only thing.
Oh, yeah. And it's so crazy because at a convention a few years back, somebody came up to me and asked me for a Big Boa to draw as a commission. And it was so crazy because it was, that character, you know, it was like, I don't really know. I knew he was never really like my favorite, but I thought he had a pretty cool design, but I'd never drawn him before, didn't draw him in the comics. And I was like, okay, this is going to be interesting. And then for whatever reason, like I was telling you guys, it was like no pressure, or at least not any real pressure, you know, being that I had to outdo anybody or anything like that. It was one of my favorite drawings. It's on my DeviantArt website. Yeah. It just came out cool. I was like, man, where the hell did that come from? You know, I was expecting it to suck, and then it just was like, okay, that's pretty fun drawing of a boa. So, you know, it was like, hey, man, I'll take it. I'll take the wins where I get them. They were really fun to draw.
So that means you can work your magic on someone like Crystal Ball too. You know, another obscure 1987 G.I. Joe Cobra character.
Oh yeah, exactly. Yeah.
What, Nathan? What you think of Joe? What you guys think of that poster?
It's awesome.
See, this is what I mean. When I was saying it last week, of sometimes I told you there's some posters you've seen of art where like just people have the most bland, generic stance, or it looks like there's no emotion. But even if with that, where there's maybe not a battle going on back and forth, there's life to these pieces. That's what I mean. That you see just every bit of love and passion put into it. That's the kind of art I always like. I'm not a big fan of just people stand out looking into nowhere in stiff poses. Or even I've sometimes seen people put what you'd think is supposed to be a battle, but they're not making eye contact. It's all uncomfortable. The arms are weird. I'm like, what is even happening? But you don't get that with Kevin's work. That's what I love, is even something there where they're not fighting, you could feel the life in that piece. So that's just that's just amazing. Sorry. That's freaking amazing.
No, say it the way you intended to say it. Though,
yeah. Don't hold back, Joe.
You know, I think Kevin
did that as well. I think Kevin did that like a couple minutes with prior. Fun. I was like, fun. Come on now. You can just say it. It's fine.
Yeah.
I caught that too. I was like, what's he wanting to say? Fucking, he said, fun.
It's like, a Christmas story. We're going to, like, you know, Kevin's on the podcast. Ready? I'll have to go tell his wife that she can wash his mouth out with soap.
Well, I mean, Raven is in the chat. It's like, Kevin, language.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's all okay.
Yeah. That's an excellent point. And I would like to see more of Kevin do collage work too. Like, that's something I think would be a lot, because just like that poster, where you can cram in a multitude of characters, but you've got a head of somebody, the chest up from somebody, like, or from the waist up, like he has with Snake Eyes. Like, and he's giving a lot of, like Joe said, there's a lot of intensity, like spirits holding freedom. You know, you got Scarlet looking all sexy and serious at the same time. Snake Eyes ready to beat somebody's ass, and Joe's done hearing what I have to say right now.
Again?
No, well, you just no.
Sorry, I got you. I thought something fell over and smashed. We've been having crazy winds around here. Sorry about that. I'm good.
What is it with the winds, man? It's like the whole tornado alley has just shifted. It used to be in Kansas. Now it's just like all over here now. All the time.
Yeah, I'm good. Now, this I might miss, but I'm going to try to get to some of the people that were at least trying to acknowledge or say. Yeah. Okay, Zentron is saying something. He said, did you work on any of the Vampire Jubilee comics by chance? Or no?
I guess they're assuming there was – or they're talking about was it issues of Generation X with vampires? I know there was one issue that it did have vampires in Generation X, but I'm not sure if they mean later when they had the whole Dracula storyline and all that.
Well, I guess he just meant at least what Zentron said was her vampire form, so he didn't know if you ever drew Jubilee's vampire form.
No, I don't think I did. I think it was earlier on before that storyline that Marvel ever did, I think.
Okay, and let me see. I think the question that tags Animation Media, this is something he could definitely, it'll be hashed out between you two on Facebook, because he was curious what how much commissions cost, and we all know that varies depending on time, the piece, the amount of work, so we can always try to get tags Animation Media.
Well, Raven did jump in and say base prices are on his Facebook, but it really depends on what you're looking to get.
Yeah, oh, exactly. That must have been coming down, because I was say I didn't get to that, but okay. Let me see. I want to scroll down a little more, and of course, I know Nathan might even be able to help me in case.
Well, Wally Collector says that they couldn't stop laughing either. So
Adam Gabbert. Now, of course, I could put him in contact with you as well. He was wondering, have you ever drawn Icer in battle from Masters of the Universe? Because Icer would be a badass character to see in battle too.
Oh yeah, Icer's a really cool design, and I definitely can draw him. I mean, that's the thing. I'm a fan like you guys, and there's so many characters in there that I want to draw, you know, and so many things I want to take a stab at. So I'm happy to do any of those characters for you.
All right. Well, I'll make sure I put him in contact with you, because I know him on Facebook as well, so I can try to put you guys in contact. Delva70 said, Kevin Sharp, what's your most over requested commission? I guess you know,
Tyler's probably drawn a whole lot.
That's probably in the running currently right now. There. Yeah, yeah. It is in high demand. What can I say, people? Oh. It's a very popular character in today's pop culture. You know,
I don't want to get in trouble, but. Oh man, I don't know how to say this in a way that probably wouldn't be kind of. I don't know. Anyway, I'm going to say Batman is huge.
And I thought it was shit.
Yeah, exactly.
You get a lot of them.
If we're taking score by Raven's account, you got about 3 smacks coming your way.
Wow. Yeah, we'll keep you on there for a while to kind of prolong the punishment.
Yeah, maybe she'll like go off to bed or something. It'd be like 2 a.m. We can just hang out, Kevin. It'll be fine.
All right. And JSP is saying, hey, Kevin, any chance of doing a pick of He-Man defeating Superman in a wrestling ring for the intergalactic title? And hell, JSP, if you're serious, I'm sure if you ask Kevin, he'd probably be down for that, I'm sure.
The easiest answer is you got the money, I got the time, I guess is what I was saying.
There you go.
That's the Joe Amato answer, too. How about that?
Fedmon says, I want Tila and several of the Masters of the Universe Princess of Power ladies going full Rule 34. I may need that as a full comic, though. So, you might have to have something special there, Fedmon, I guess.
Nope.
Let me see.
No.
All right. And I think
hey, Kevin, what's the weirdest thing you've ever been asked to do a commission for? Oh, hey, look at that.
Yeah.
It just got it right there. Sportman said, screw Batman, draw Shazam. So, yeah, it seems like a lot of people say they're kind of good.
No, Kevin has drawn Shazam before, and God almighty, man, he drew Captain Marvel to look like it's a shame.
Tyler, do we have this in file form that someone can send to me? I can show that off real quick.
I don't have it with me or on me at the moment. Kevin, did you sell that?
The Shazam. Yeah, I sold it to a buddy of mine.
Okay.
I'm going to do an inked version just to have on me, you know, and to give it a shot, you know, to do an inked version of that one. But I love Captain Marvel. He's got a lot in common with a lot of other things that I enjoy. I mean, it's really a running theme for some reason, but you know, you look at Bruce Banner and the Hulk, or He-Man and Prince Adam, or, you know, Captain Marvel and Shazam. It's always, for some reason, I don't know why, but it's always a character that I enjoy, that it's got, like, you know, the whole duplicity, you know, the I don't know, maybe I'm schizophrenic or something. So.
No, I mean, those kind of characters are fascinating. Like, someone who starts out as kind of smaller or a weakling and transforms into a juggernaut. So
yeah, like the Jekyll and Hyde sort of ideal.
But for good.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. No. Yeah. If you must, I'm sure you've got that Captain Marvel on your Facebook though, right?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. Yeah. It's in a very intense Captain Marvel. Like, it's probably the best Captain Marvel I've ever seen in my life, personally. So, seriously, like that's the coolest I've ever seen that character. And it's a shame he doesn't look like that in a goofy ass looking movie.
It's one of those things I'm not really attached to, as attached to the new design, the new 52 design as much.
Ugh.
But I tried to give it kind of. I like Zachary. I don't know if it's Levi or Levy. I always said Levy, but apparently it must be Levi. But I liked him from Chuck. And I don't know if you guys ever got to see the show, but I liked him from Chuck. So it was one of those things where I kind of got hyped to see some of the visuals for him. And it's just a personal thing. And so I drew that character. I know for those who hadn't seen it, basically to describe it, my intent was to draw him that moment when like the middle of saying Shazam after the bolts just hit him and he's screaming it out, you know, he's just belting it out. And it was just kind of one of those things. I just wanted to imbue it as cool of a, you know, powerful a piece as I possibly could, just because I love the character, you know. And it was really weird. I started drawing it late at night, like 2 o'clock. I was like, man, I have this image in my head, and I just I couldn't sleep. I was like sitting there going, I gotta draw this, at least start it, get it out there or something.
I have found it.
I think Nathan found it. Yeah, I had a feeling Nathan found
it. Yeah, put it up.
All right, let's do this again.
Nathan, thank you for
it's gonna get trippy again, man.
Yeah. All right. There we go. Let me click on me, and there we go. Everyone can see that, right?
Yep. Yeah. Okay. You're not going to get any better than that, people. You're not.
See, he's not just sitting there looking at the screen, like just looking with a bland facial expression. If there's not intensity and passion and just love it to that damn piece, I don't know what it is. But yeah, that's badass, Kevin, right there. That is badass.
That's very kind of you guys.
And I was going to say, yeah, Raven, I tell you, Raven might have to take over or join you on the show because Tags Media Animation had a question and Raven answered it already before you could. But Tags Media, yeah, Tags said, Kevin, are you familiar with Mythic Legions? And then bam, Raven jumped up and said, oh, heck yeah, we just ordered our six of the Mythic Legions. So bam, so I guess we got an answer already. So
yeah,
he's
already
answer,
got his own
Kevin.
Publicist there. You know, he really doesn't need exactly,
like he's just in there, can't do nothing. Kevin's just gonna be quiet the rest of the show because we're gonna have all the replies right here from Raven. But Wiley said, Joe,
I showed her some of that stuff. This was actually from the first Advent of Decay, I guess, Kickstarter, and she saw some of the figures and she just loved doing what the Horsemen did, and so she we had ordered a few of them. We didn't order as many as we wish we could have, but it was they're just fantastic figures. They're great to look at, you know.
And, they look amazing. I don't own any of them, but you're right; they do look great. Jesus, and especially if you had the money.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. If you can track them down, they're fun. The parts are kind of like of the Mattel kind of deal, where a lot of things are interchangeable, or a lot of the sculpts are kind of similar. So you can really go in there and go custom crazy. You know, you can customize them really well. And they're just awesome, gorgeous looking figures. And I can't really afford statues. And so these are, you know, to me, the Classics line and the Mythic Legions are about as close to statues as I'm going to be able to afford, you know. And I just really love them. I mean, I can't say enough good things about them.
Yeah, Raven says it killed her tax return.
Yeah. Yeah, and Wiley Collector said, Joe, you should work with Kevin to do some custom art for the back of your figure cards. Hell, maybe someday I could do something like that. Definitely to jazz it up on the back, because I'm just redrawing something in different poses because I can't draw out of my head, so I have to look at existing stuff and do different things. But that could be a great idea, especially for something different or original that I'd create. Maybe me and Kevin could do something. So
always,
that'd be good.
Just hit me up. Let me know what you're thinking.
Yes. Oh shit! I almost pulled everything out. Hold on. I was gonna say one thing before we get to that. I had to do this because somebody sent me something, and I said I would do it on the show and show all you guys as well. Mark Randall sent me a package all the way from Australia, and it was something that I did not know was
what the hell, Mark? Where's my package? Where's my package?
Well, the reason is you wouldn't want this. I didn't know this stuff was even real. It was something I thought was a gag thing on YouTube because I gave John Meiselwick, you know, that dipshit, I gave him some trouble. And I said, man, I said, this is your favorite candy that must have, you know, like be back in stock. And then somebody said, Joe, you know that is real candy, don't you? And I was like, no, I didn't. He was like, well, I'll tell you what. I'll send you the box. I'll flatten it out, and I'll send you some of these things to try. And this – oh, dear God, this is fucking real.
Penis candy?
Is it bonkers? Well,
hey, close. They're camel balls. Extra sour camel balls. It's supposed to be a liquid blood juice. And look at this shit. Is this not the craziest thing? He said, it's real. He said, I'm going to send you some camel balls. You can try them on the show. So let me see what these little balls
what
look
the hell
like.
Are, they doing? Are you going to eat camel balls live on here?
Camel balls.
Yeah, let me get some of these camel balls.
Kevin, you're
in on that show X Factor where he's like, we eat rainbow balls. Absolutely.
Kevin, you're in for something special, man. I'm glad you're here live to watch this. What the hell? If all of you guys just unsubscribe en masse, I totally understand.
Yeah, we get it. We won't be upset.
Oh, that is.
We're having celebratory camel balls.
Well, they must be flat or something, or maybe that's how it happened in the shipping. Oh, they're sticky, and all that juice, that blood juice is kind of in there.
Balls.
But...
sticky blood juice camel balls.
Oh, no, Ned, you need to do your Vince McMahon voice. Sticky balls, damn it.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what.
Joe, put those sticky balls in your mouth. I love it.
He's going to puke.
I'm going to be honest. That's some really good stuff. Maybe I'll send you guys the balls too. But
nothing.
Yeah. No, I'm good. I'm good, Joe. I'm
they're
fine.
They're really good. It's sticky. I mean, it's chewy, but Those are good. Those, I like camel ball, I guess. Strong. Thank you, Brett. Mark. Good gracious. They're sticky, though. I actually can't touch nothing now. I'm going to try to take my headphones off. You guys keep going. I got to wash my hands. But, yeah, I just want to show you my balls. I'll be right back.
How do you even segue from something? Thanks, Joe. Back to you guys.
Yeah. Well, one time at band camp.
I mean, like, he didn't even describe the taste. He was like, yeah, those are pretty good. I guess I like camel balls. Well, I got to go wash my hands.
They're really, he just kept talking how sticky he was. So, Well, here's something else. It's a complete U-turn here. But, Kevin, what are some of your upcoming appearances that you'll be doing in the near future?
Uh-oh. I think can you repeat that again? I think it was my connection was
saying, can you let everyone know what your current list of appearances will be?
Nope.
Oh man.
Okay, I'm back. My hands are clean now. We're good. Thank you again, Mark.
Yeah, we're past that now, Joe.
Okay, go ahead.
That's Kevin? A nice joke. Kevin, can you still hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you. I don't know why, but Tyler was his voice was getting digitized, and I don't know if it's on my end or.
I'll throw it out to you, and we'll see if you can hear me. Tyler wanted to know if you want to go ahead and give a shout out to your appearances, like what you got coming up next convention wise.
Oh, great. I'll be appearing at the North Carolina of the. The NC Comic Con in Oak City, which is
Joe. What are you doing?
What happened?
He's talking, and all we can hear is you eating more camel balls. Or whatever.
I'm sorry. I didn't know you could hear that. Please go again, Kevin. I'll stop.
Joe like feeds himself. He goes up like this.
I'm sorry. I stopped.
You just
rub those balls on his chin when he feeds himself.
Never you mind. It's all about the balls with Joe.
Sorry there, Kevin. We just completely destroyed your.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, I'm going to the North Carolina. You just hear rapper
Joe balls over there.
I swear to God, I didn't know you could hear it. I am so sorry. Go ahead, like, Kevin. No, I'll shut up.
I'm eating cookies, on the podcast, and here Joe like, oh, blah, blah, blah.
It's like Tyler's eating cookies. You're eating balls. What the hell, guys?
Go on,
come on.
I'll stop. Go ahead.
This is a professional podcast. This is a professional podcast. Damn it.
We got a professional artist on here.
You're ruined. I hate Austin. All right, go ahead.
Oh, God. Go on, Kevin. I'm quiet.
I'll be at I can't even think now. The NC Comic Con in Raleigh next weekend, the 15th through the 17th. I'll also be at I feel bad because I can't remember the exact date, but I think it was like April 6th for the Roanoke Valley.
Comic-Con. Oh, yeah.
I'll be doing that, and I've got to nail down some of my other appearances, but I may be doing Heroes Con, but I can't say for certain. But Heroes Con in North Carolina, and then I'm looking at a few things, so I'll be posting more convention appearances on my Facebook fan page, which is Kevin Sharp Art, and then we'll go from there. But back to you guys, I guess.
Well, Fedmon's already like him, and that, folks, is our cult leader. All praise the great El Monterey. Joe draws all. I think we got to throw camel balls in there in their little.
That's like when Joe's like having like a communion. He passed around trays of camel balls and El Monterey burritos.
Jesus.
Well, Joe, what do those taste like? They're supposed to be sour, but like you never said anything. You're like, yeah, those are good. I gotta go wash my hands.
No, the outside was sour, and then it has sweet like juice in the balls themselves. I said, oh, Jesus Christ! Yeah. I mean, it did.
Joe, that's where the sweet juice usually is. Joe, right in the bowl.
See, now our next photo is Joe doing this next to like a camel ball sack.
You know what? There's gonna be like someone from that company. They're gonna hit Joe up. It's like, yeah, we with the math, we need you on our box.
It's a great gimmick,
Oh, shit.
It's all funny games until somebody brings out the balls.
Oh God, I am sorry. They were good, but no, Kevin. It has been a blast, Temple of Doom,
where he just bring out this big pot of like warm balls, and Joe's just sitting there dropping down his mouth. And, you know, because of what you're not eating.
And we missed.
I had balls for lunch.
You know. Oh shit! Kevin, well, Dell, I have to have you on again sometime.
It feels like let's wrap it up. We're talking about balls too much.
But I will. Like I said, we're all three of us will promote the hell out of your stuff so people can get in contact with you, possibly purchase.
And
the
next
stuff
time, it'll be chocolate dildos from Guatemala. You know?
That will never happen.
I want a podcast. We have Kevin back, you know, to talk about, you know, well. How great chocolate dildos are from Guatemala.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, anyway, can you draw a commission of Joe eating camel balls and chocolate dildos from Guatemala, you know?
Oh, great.
Just holding his customs, you know, or just...
He's got to be holding those two that he showed up earlier that he made when he was 10.
Yeah, and a fresh pot of camel balls right in front of him, you know?
I don't think I've laughed this much in a long time. Thank you, guys.
This would be good. But no, and everybody in the chat room, they had a blast too. I'm glad they could join us for this one. And it was a pleasure having you, Kevin. And hope to see more of your work in the future, and hope you get some, like, you know, other, you know, big projects that you could be a part of. And if something Masters of the Universe related comes around to where they say they're looking for artists to do something, possibly for a mini comic, a different comic, I'll be shooting the hell out of your name. You know, I'll definitely do that for you. So
thank you, brother. And if you don't mind, I'll just put out there. For any of the He fans, you know, everybody who loves He Man and Masters of the Universe, the mini comic collection has that mini comic that was for the Target 2-pack, and it's still out there. And if you get a chance to track that down, if you bring it to the show, I'll sign it. And I want to thank you guys, Joe, Nathan, Tyler. It's an honor to be able to have fun here with you guys talking about this stuff.
It was great having you here, too.
I'm sorry. I'm just thinking about camel balls now. I can't get past this. It's going to take me a while. But no, it was good having you on here. And it was nice to just sort of dig into the mind of someone that's worked on lots of different properties with different companies and the commissions that you have to do and just the processes and the struggles with it and kind of being hard on yourself and your own artwork. That's I think that's what a lot of people don't realize is we look at this stuff and we're like, oh, that's amazing. And you could look at it and be like, I didn't enjoy that at all. Because people don't know the story behind it and how much you had to go through, how many times you had to fix things. And it's just, it's good that you were able to come on the show and just put all that stuff out there for everybody to hear.
And I appreciate having the chance to actually talk about it. So it's great to be on here with you guys.
All right. It was great, Kevin. So hopefully we can have you on again. Like we said, and maybe next time, if you feel comfortable, you could have video. And if you want to put a mask on to cover yourself, you can. Or if you don't, you don't have to.
Don't do that. Don't go to that motto, Ralph.
Yeah, don't encourage. You know, he's a cult leader. You don't want people thinking you're a cult leader, too, do you?
You don't want the FBI coming after you, do you? Of course.
And everybody, they all thanked you in the chat room. They did have a blast, Kevin. Everybody was saying thank you. They had a great time. So it was good. It was fun talking with you. So,
oh, man.
But, you still sound like you're chewing on. Are you still eating those?
Is that remnants of balls? Balls.
Oh, it's gum?
In his teeth there.
Yeah, it's gum ball. I mean, it's balls and it's gum and it has that liquid. So, yeah, I'm still chewing. I didn't know you could hear my chewing. Oh, Christ. I better stop before.
You're doing until over next. There, you know?
Have a powerful day.
I can't even say my quote with a straight face there because I just feel like everyone's just starting laughing all of a sudden now.
You got to do it. You can do it.
All right. There is no tomorrow. There is no tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. That's Rocky 3.
Can I say one?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
All right. We're doing movie lines, right?
Yes.
Anything you want. Yeah.
All right. Hold on to your hats, kids. Here it comes.
This better not be Guardians of the Galaxy.
It's a duck, not a dick.
That sounds really familiar.
It's a duck, not a dick.
It's camel balls. Get them now with Joe Amato.
I know it's not Howard the Duck. I know that for sure.
We always give people 30 seconds in the chat room. If we can't get it, we'll see if they can get it. You said it's not a duck, it's a dick?
Yeah.
I don't know. And let's see. I'm seeing if anybody. I don't see anybody that gave an answer. Quickly.
Oh, it's a Dixon and the Marlboro Man.
Or maybe it was late 90s. I don't know.
I'm going to go with It Takes Two with the Olsen Twins and Steve Gutenberg.
Oh, would you stop saying that every week? Every week he says it. Oh, and by the way, Zentron quickly said, it's good to be the king. Yeah, that's history of the world. I know that stuff, definitely.
He's always going to quote, like, Mel Brooks films that I don't watch. You know, it's just...
Right.
Long Kiss Goodnight, that was Samuel L. Jackson.
Oh, God, I had not seen that movie in years.
Oh, with him and Gina Davis?
Yeah, directed by Rennie Harlan.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Now, that's a movie I don't hear anybody talk about. So knowing Kevin just pulled that out, Long Kiss Goodnight, man, now that's an action movie obscurity. I appreciate that.
That was a good one. Definitely. Great one. So, well, see you guys next time.
All right, see you next week.
Enjoy your balls, Joe.
I will.